We on? Good deal. Thank you back there in the back. Good morning, church family. It is so good to be here with you. And for those of you on live stream, we pray you'll be blessed by your time with us through the transmission of these live stream broadcasts. And thank you. If you're here visiting today, if you're one of our guests, I know Pastor mentioned it, we have a meal in the back that's just absolutely awesome. And we invite you to stick around and have a meal with us after the service today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for a new day of life. Thank you for blessings that we are untold. And we thank you for this song that was just given to us, Father. This song will go on through eternity. It's probably my favorite song. And it just is our story of what you have done for us, Father. For each and every one of us who have accepted you into our lives, it's by amazing grace. And we ask now that you would join us as we open your word for a few moments, Lord, and just maybe learn. May the Holy Spirit impress us and teach us this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I have had people ask me, why, when I speak, why do you always speak on God's love, God's goodness, and God's mercy? It's all I know. It's all I know. 40 years ago, I was in a very serious logging accident that could have killed me. Another 18 inches, when the log would have moved 18 inches, it would have hit me in an area. I would have been dead. I was 20 years old, busted up in 27 different places when I was hurt, and it was a 12-hour run from the injury site to the hospital that night when I got there, and I was just barely, my heart was just barely breathing, 40 years ago. And sometimes we think God works in mysterious ways, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It got me out of the woods, it got me back into school, it got us over into this area, and I've shared this before, we met our first couple of Adventists over here in 1980. And they weren't living the lifestyle, but we can follow our transition for the next 10 years, 30 years ago, to me joining this church. And I had promised God, I had promised Susan, I didn't promise God, I didn't really believe in him, but I had promised that I would never join this church. But God has mysterious ways of working. He brought people into our lives, he brought situations into our lives. Excuse me. And when I was 30 years old, I made the decision to be baptized after a year of study and making sure that this is where I wanted to be. And God answered that at a camp meeting beyond a shadow of a doubt. I asked, that was my prayer, will you tell me if I need to be in this church? And this is where I want to be, and this is what I want to see. And that is exactly what he did to the letter. There was a lady sitting next to me. She had a Bible opened, and I won't go to the scripture and go through it all, but it was exactly what I needed to hear and what I needed to read and what I needed to see. And it was like, okay, this was July of 1989. I made the decision I was going to be baptized on December 31st, 1989, New Year's Eve. I was born on New Year's Eve. I wanted to be reborn on New Year's Eve. But it couldn't happen for different reasons. But I was baptized a month later. Excuse me. And it's all for me by the goodness and the grace of God and his mercy for each and every one of us. So that is why when I speak up front, I am always looking for, one, God is love, the filter that we look through, and number two, it is his goodness that leads us to repentance. That's all I can care of. That's my life. That's my story of my walk with Jesus and coming into this church. So with that said, we're going to spend a few minutes this morning on one of these little stories that just actually shares exactly that. God's goodness, God's mercy, God's love. So if you would please turn with me to Luke 17, and we're going to read a story, Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. But while I'm doing that, while you're doing that, I want to share another little story. Have I told you guys about Millie? Did I share the story of Millie here before? Maybe not. Okay. Millie's an older woman who lived alone in the deep south, and every morning she would go out on her porch, she would raise her arms to the sky, and she would yell, "Praise the Lord!" Rain or shine, day in or day out, Millie would repeat the routine every morning out to the porch, raise her arms, and praise the Lord. One day, a new neighbor moved into the house next to Millie's and was watching Millie's routine for several days. What Millie didn't know was that this new neighbor was an atheist, and he was quickly getting very irritated with all these expressions of exaltation. After putting on with about a week, he couldn't take it anymore. The next morning, after she shouted, "Praise the Lord," the man yelled back, "There is no Lord." The next morning, after she shouted the praise, "The Lord," the man yelled back, "There is no Lord." And this went on for several days, with Millie proclaiming, "Praise the Lord," and the neighbor screaming back, "There is no Lord." Then one cold wintry day, Millie came out to her porch, raised her arms to the sky, and she said, "Lord, help me. I have no money, it's cold, and I have no food. Praise the Lord." The next morning, she went outside and found three bags of food on her porch. She quickly raised her hands and she cried out, "Praise the Lord." And just then, the atheist jumped out from behind some bushes. He laughed. He said, "There is no Lord. I brought those groceries with my own money." And the woman quickly dropped to her knees and she said, "Thank you, Lord. You sent me these groceries and you made the devil pay for them." God works in mysterious ways. A little bit of a light-sided humor there, but I have to talk a little bit to get going. So, but anyway, a little bit of a light-sided humor. Please don't take offense at it. But God works in ways we just never dream of. We can all experience these things that we just can't imagine what we will see when we're in heaven, when he saved us, protected us, watched over us, cared for us, gave us, all this stuff that goes on in the goodness and gracious and love of God. Now, what's this got to do with Luke 17? Luke 17, verse 11. "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem," he being Jesus, let me get to the Bible there with you, "that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." This is Jesus' last trip to Jerusalem. It's approximately 2, maybe 3 weeks prior to the Passover, and it's his final trip. He will be going to Jerusalem, where in just a few days, he will be betrayed, he will be tortured, he will be abandoned, and he will be crucified. And on his way, in verse 12, he entered a village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. They were not allowed into the village because of their disease, so they had to meet Jesus at a distance. Leprosy was the most feared disease of its time. It's a painful, debilitating disease that attacks the nervous system and the skin. Some of you may have seen a leper. Some of you on your mission trips may have gone to a leper colony. I've seen pictures. I've never seen one myself, but the closest equivalent today would be an AIDS situation. The disease of leprosy was a painful disease that attacks the nervous system, and it slowly eats away at the flesh. But the physical pain is not the worst part. Those who have it said it means isolation. They are shut off from their family. They are shut off from their friends. And they're even shut off from God in a sense that they could no longer enter the temple to worship in Christ's time. Lepers were swept into isolated colonies and required that when anybody ventured too close, they were to cry out in humiliation. Anybody know what they had to cry out? Unclean! Unclean! Can you imagine walking around all day having to yell, "I'm unclean, I'm filthy, I'm dead," in the eyes of the Lord. Not the Lord, but in the eyes of the people. As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered. This is from Leviticus 13. And he covered his mustache, and he cries, "Unclean, unclean." And he shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. All the days, for he is unclean. And he shall live alone, and his dwelling place shall be outside the camp. Can you imagine humiliation, having the children point their fingers at you and either laugh or run in fear as your body parts are rotting off your body? An ear gone, or maybe your nose is gone, or maybe because of your nervous system being in danger, you lost your fingers or you lost your toes. It was just an awful, debilitating disease. Having your loved ones turn their heads in disgust. And can you imagine having to rely on the pity of others in order to have enough to eat? Leprosy was especially humiliating because it was believed that they were suffering because of their sin. It was considered a curse of God. And you were thought to be unclean and incapable of having a right relationship with God, and you were getting what you deserved. Lepers were called the walking dead, and they were left to die a slow, agonizing, lonely death. The law required that lepers were to maintain a distance of about 100 feet to 100 paces from others who were so. So they could not even come close to Jesus. So they lifted their voice and they cried in verse 13, "Master, have mercy on us." That was all they could do. For no physician could heal them, no medicine could cure them, and they were completely helpless before the onslaught of this deadly disease. They had a deadly problem that only Jesus could fix. Sounds a bit like sin, doesn't it? Sounds an awful lot like sin. But they realize their need. And when in need, we get loud. We get bold. And we make sure that Jesus hears us. And these lepers made sure that Jesus heard them. They couldn't get to him, so they made sure that he could hear. And like them, we call on others in our church to pray with us. We get bold when we have needs. We call the prayer line to have others pray with us or pray for us. And I know that when I have a need, I can get pretty loud when I want to bring something to the Lord, something that's extremely important. In 2006, our daughter was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. Cancer at the age of 19, she was dealing with it, and it was a cancer that usually hit older folks 65, 70, 75 years of age. So it was just completely caught us off guard that here's a 19-year-old dealing with this sickness. But we got bold. We got bold when we were scared and we were knowing that this was going on. And we had churches all over town praying for her. We went to the Mormon church. We went to the LDS church, I think. We went to every church in town. We had people who had signs out on the street. We had them put her name on there. "Please pray for Megan." We put it in the newspapers. Didn't give her a last name. Just, "Please pray for Megan," because of what was going on. We got bold. We wanted the Lord, and we wanted as many people involved in this prayer as we could possibly get. I have customers that I work with that were in Australia. They put it on their prayer chain. So we had people all over the world praying for Megan, but even though a lot of people never knew who Megan was. My brother, a couple of years later, said, "Did you see that thing about this girl, Megan?" And he didn't know that it was our daughter. My brother and I were kind of estranged from each other. So but we get bold when we have something that's really pressing on our hearts. So when Jesus saw them and when he heard them, he said, "Go." Verse 14, "Go show yourselves to the priest." So question is, why? Why go show yourselves to the priest? Why not come here and be healed? Why didn't Jesus call them down and say, "Come down here, let me touch you, and you will be healed"? In Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4, he had healed a leper earlier by the touch. He had reached out. The leper had come to him, got in front of him, and Jesus reached out and touched this leper. But for some reason, in this case, he didn't do it. Well, number one, it was a requirement of the law. The Old Testament law required that a leper was to return to the priest that had originally declared him unclean. He was to be inspected and issued a proclamation that he was, in fact, healed of the disease. So the priest who proclaimed him dirty now had to proclaim him clean. It's from Leviticus 14. And number two, Jesus was looking for an act of faith. He wanted to see faith in these men. These men were not to be healed as long as they were lingering in Jesus' presence, but only as they proceeded to carry out his instructions. It was necessary for them to act in faith as if they were already healed before the healing actually came. James 2:17-20 tells us that faith without works is dead. And they were to show their faith by doing what he said. And he said, go show yourself to the priests. And so as it was, they were cleansed as they headed to the temple to see the priest. You can just imagine the scene, one step and then another and another, as they're going on their way and they realize that things are changing. Things are changing. I look over to the next guy and the blotchy skin is gone. Maybe my fingerless hand now has fingers. And maybe one of them starts to feel his feet and toes as he is walking in the dust. It may have been years since he felt the dust on his feet. And then another looks down and sees fresh new skin, where fresh moments ago there was just a rotty, stinking flesh. And they stop and they look at each other to make sure that it's real, that they are truly cleansed. And then it's a mad dash, as hard and as fast as they can go to get to the priest. It's been a long time, maybe years, since they were with their family and friends, and since they had held their wives and children in the arms or been allowed to go to the temple to worship. They couldn't wait because each one wanted to be the first to be declared clean. Each one wanted to be first. And as they were going toward the priests, they were getting further and further away from Jesus. The distance between Jesus and the lepers was increasing. It was increasing with every step they took toward the priests. And as they got closer to the priests, Jesus was following them in the background. And how do we know that? Verse 15. Turn to verse 15 with me if you have. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. One of them turned back. One of them, and only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned. The definition of repentance, simply made, is to turn around. He was going one direction. He realized that he was healed by the grace of God, and he turned back. He repented. He turned back. RSV said that one of them turns back, but only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. He turned back. He repented. He turned around. He repented. But why did he turn back, and why did he return? Didn't he want to be declared clean? Didn't he want to see his friends and family or to be reinstated into the mainstream of society? Of course he did. He wanted to enjoy the blessings just as much as all the others. But this one, just this one, seems to have his priorities in order. This one did not get so wrapped up in the blessings that he forgot the blesser. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in our blessings, we can forget the blesser. We can forget the one who gave us the blessings. This one put family, friends, and fellowship on hold so that he could worship the one that made his being with his family and friends possible. Divine power had released him from the bonds of this disease, and that made first things first. And he returned to give thanks and praise to God. Notice that when he returned with a loud voice, he glorified God. And with the same loudness and intensity, he cried for mercy. When he cried for mercy, he glorified God. And all too often, we are loud in our prayers and silent in our praise. And I'm guilty of that. It's all too often weird. I had to have it dragged out of me prayer meeting the other night. Sometimes we are so caught up in things that we can be very bold when it comes to prayer and very silent and quiet when it comes to praise or thanking for the blessings. This man returned. He repented because it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Romans 2:4. This leper was moving one direction, realized that God had done what he said he was going to do. He repented and he turned back to Jesus Christ because it is the goodness of God that led him to repentance. Verse 16, he fell down on his face, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, he couldn't come to Jesus when he was asking for prayers, but now he could come to Jesus now that he had been healed. I asked myself that just this morning as I was rereading this. What makes it different? Because he is no longer bound by the Levitical law. He is healed. He has been saved. He is no longer bound by the Levitical law that said he had to be away. He is cleansed. He has been made whole. He has been saved by grace. This man was doubly cursed. He was a Samaritan and he was a leper. He was a leper, a Samaritan, and he knew that he was not worthy of this healing and he was not worthy to receive God's help. Just like us, we are not worthy to receive anything from God. We are not worthy of the help we ask for, but out of his goodness and mercy, he sometimes gives us what we want. Not only was this man doubly cursed, but by grace he was healed, and he comes back to worship the one who unconditionally healed him. He decided that thanking Jesus was more important than getting the approval of the priests. Ellen White says that those who forget to thank God for their blessings received and to appreciate what God has done for them are in danger of forgetting him altogether. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Question, did Jesus expect all 10 to come back? Do you think he expected all 10 to come back? I don't know. If so, why did he then go tell them to go show themselves to the priest? Was it only because it was a requirement of the law? Or maybe there was something else going on here? Might I suggest that maybe there was some type of a test taking place here? 10 men, Jews, and at least one Samaritan, they were united by their circumstances because of the leprosy. They must eat together, talk together, sleep in the same house together, and find a way to survive together. Jews and Samaritans had no love for each other at all. It's interesting to note, if it were not for the disease, that they would not have even acknowledged each other. Jew would not even let a Samaritan's shadow cross over him. That's how badly they disliked each other. And then Jesus comes along, and they have one voice, one purpose, and their cry together is to be cleansed. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus grants their request and then sends them to the priests. And on the way, they are all cleansed, but only one returns to give God the glory. The others went their way, forgetting him who had made them clean. But one returns, or repents, and comes back to give him glory. Ellen White implies that Jesus knew this was going to happen. She writes, of the 10 lepers who was cleansed, only one appreciated the gift, and he was a stranger and a Samaritan. But for the sake of that one, Christ healed the 10. For the sake of the one, he healed all of them who were there. I had never thought about that in that concept. For the sake of one person, the others benefited by the grace and mercy and the blessing that was given to God. Even though he seemed to know they were not going to come back. and do what this one leper had done. So for the sake of one, he healed the entire bunch. Many of us come to Christ to get better. We come because we are lonely, or we are outcasts of society, or maybe we just have no place else to go. We come for the blessings, but we don't come to know the blesser. Ministry of Healing, page 135, says that's what Jesus did for us. If but one soul would have accepted the gospel of his grace, Christ would have come and gone through what he went through just to save that one. Isn't that amazing? This man, this foreigner, the Samaritan, this sinner came back because he wanted to know Jesus. He wanted a relationship with the one who cleansed him. This relationship with Jesus was more important than his family. It was more important than his friends, and it was more important than his work. It was more important to declare, it was more important than the declaration by the priest. And it was more important that this Gentile sinner, leper, Samaritan returned to give God glory. Jesus said, were there not any found who repented and returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? In verse 15, it says, this man returned, he fell at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. Here in verse 18, Jesus says that the man returned and gave glory to God. Take a look at a couple of words here. Jesus is equating thanks with glory. And Jesus says that the man who gave God thanks is in fact giving God glory. This is in fact part of the third angel's message. To fear God, to cry in a loud voice, and to give glory to God. Third angel's message in this little tiny story. This one man who Jesus refers to as a foreigner acts and responds differently than 90% of the others, 1 out of 10. We are all to be foreigners in this world. Those of us who have entered into this relationship with Jesus shouldn't act or don't act or respond as the rest of the world might. We will always be in the minority in a way that we think or act. Remember, 1 in 10 is a remnant. This is a three angels message, remnant message that we are getting through this act, through this leper. The final words that Jesus says to this man, verse 19, he says to him, arise, go your way, for your faith has made you whole. The last word is the word sozo, which means saved. It's the same word that's used in Acts 16 when the Philippian jailer asks, what must I do to be sozoed? What must I do to be saved? The word means to be made complete or whole. E.G. White on page 348. I'm going to read a couple things here real quick and then we're going to wrap it up. When the 10 lepers came to Jesus for healing, he bade them go show themselves to the priest. And on the way, they were cleansed, but only one of them returned to give him glory. The others went their way forgetting him who had made them whole. How many are still doing the same thing? The Lord works continually to benefit mankind. He is ever imparting his bounties. He raises up the sick from beds of languishing, and he delivers men from peril, which they do not see. He commissions heavenly angels to save them from calamities and to guard them from the pestilence that worketh in the dark and the destruction that wasteth at noonday. But their hearts, our hearts, their hearts, our hearts are unimpressed. He has given all the riches of heaven to redeem them, in that they are unmindful of his great love. And by their ingratitude, they close their hearts against the grace of God. She said, it is for our benefit to keep every gift of God fresh in our memory. Thus, faith is strengthened to claim and to receive more and more, and there is a greater encouragement for us in the least blessing we receive ourselves from God than all the accounts that we can read of in faith and experience of others. The soul that responds to the grace of God shall be like a watered garden. She said, let us then remember the loving kindness of the Lord and the multitude of his tender mercies. And as we review his dealings with us in our pilgrimage, let us out of our hearts, melted with gratitude, declare, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Repentance, a change of direction, to turn around, to change your mind, to go a way that you hadn't planned to go before. Not out of something that you've done, but out of the goodness of God that he has granted you a gift. There was an experience that took place in Missouri back in 2002 at a small college. It was the day for final exams, and Denise Balderman walked into the classroom minutes before the professor arrived. Everyone in the room was doing last-minute cramming, and then the professor enters and takes a few minutes to review. Most of what they reviewed was familiar, but there were some things that nobody remembered ever hearing or reading before. The professor responded with what sent cold chills up every student's spine. This is in your textbook, and you are responsible for the contents on this exam. The time came for the test, and he gave the word, and every student took up the pen and turned over their tests. And this is in Denise's own words. Denise said, I could not believe it. To my astonishment, every answer on the test was filled in. My name was even written on the exam in red ink. She said, a wordless stir traveled like a wave over the class as each student looked at their completed exam. On the bottom of the last page of every test was this note from the professor. All the answers on your test are correct. You will receive an A on the final exam. And the reason you passed this test is because the creator of the test took it for you. Let that sink in. There's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The reason you passed this test is because the creator of the test took it for you. Ten men were cleansed, but only one gave thanks. Ten men were cleansed, but only one was sozoed, made whole. Do you want to be cleansed, or do you want to be made whole? Will you be that one? Our hymn of dedication, number 111, It Took a Miracle.
Our hymn of dedication. Thank you.
Father, we thank you so much for this amazing grace that you have given to each and every one of us. Father, that you thought of us, each and every one of us, as you were hanging on that cross. And Father, we pray that it's not for naught. We ask that you would just bless us now as we leave this place, enjoying our Sabbath afternoon with you and reflecting upon what you have done for each and every one of us, Father. We ask it now according to your will and for your honor and glory. May we be louder to proclaim your gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.